First of all, thank you, all the men that are here, for Father's Day. Today is Father's Day, and that's always a celebration for many people. We all had a father. Think about it. Shouldn't it be that big of a thought, but we all had one. Some of us had great fathers. Some of us struggled with our father, but nonetheless, we had fathers or have a father, and we, of course, have our great father, who is God, the Father of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We can always be thankful for that. A Harbor of Joy has a gift for you, men. I'm going to pass these baskets out, and here's the instruction. I know it's going to be complicated. You're able to take one item from the basket for yourself, or, it's just for men. Sorry, ladies. If it's a lady, you just pass it down. It's just a small gift, and it's for every man here. So just because you may not be a father, but you still get it and then pass it to the next male in your area, it's just a small token of a blessing here. We usually give flowers out on Mother's Day, and I thought, flowers, guys, we'll give you a little tool or something like that. So that's the blessing for you to have on this Father's Day. I'll talk a little bit more about Father's Day within the message later. But again, welcome to Harbor of Joy. There are cards in front of you in your pew. They might look like welcome cards, prayer cards. If you want to fill them out with any information and then drop them in the offering container that's in the back of the sanctuary, you can do that after worship service. We need your help here. If you're part of the fellowship here at Harbor of Joy and you enjoy talking on the phone, please contact Lynann, the secretary. She's actually in the back. Hey, Lynann, wave so people know who you are. Thank you. And that will give us an opportunity to help develop a database here at Harbor of Joy with information. But talk to Lynann about that. Thank you if you participated in this past Wednesday's fellowship evening. We had a great time talking about fellowship and friendship. I already look forward to the July event. That'll come out in the e-blast and the emails you receive every week. So we're thankful for that. If you're just curious about that car, the picture of the car in the bulletin, you're like, why is there a picture of a car in the bulletin? Well, that's a car that my dad, my father, and I rebuilt in 1977, and I still have it. And Sarah and I are taking a little vacation starting later today. We're going to go over to Detroit, and there's an anniversary, the 100th anniversary of Pontiac Motors is happening this week, and it's a Pontiac Firebird, so that's why we're going. Well, we're also going because family. I grew up in Detroit, so family is there, so it's not just about the car. So please know that as well. And that also changes the office hours for this coming week. Look at the bulletin on the back of the bulletin for more information about that. I'd like to invite the praise team to come forward, and I'm going to offer an opening prayer for us as they come forward and prepare. So God, we thank you. We thank you for this day. It is the day that you have made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord, for that. What a blessing. We've come to worship you. Worship you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and sing praises to you as we open our time together with you. I pray this all in your name. Amen. I invite you to stand as the praise team leads us in. Come, now is the time to worship.
Just give just a short word or two before a couple of songs. And I would also encourage anyone of you who has a modicum of musical talent, please join us, because that's what we have too. The next song is called The Lord's Prayer, which is the topic of the sermon today. This version was written in 1935 by Albert Malotte. It was the first person to put music to the Lord's Prayer. So it's been very popular at weddings, and it's noted for its very slow emotional grandeur. So please join us in the Lord's
please join me in the prayer of the day. This is from Martin Luther's Small Catechism. It's actually called the Morning Prayer. Please join together. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil. All my doings and life may it please you. For unto your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. I invite the community to be seated at this time. As I share with you our focus text for today, as Denny shared, we're looking at the Lord's Prayer today. We've been walking through Luther's Small Catechism, and we're to the Lord's Prayer. This scripture, obviously Matthew 6, you see up on the screen. Hear God's word. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And then this is a continuation of that. These are the words of Jesus Christ. And when you pray, do not be like hypocrites, that they love to pray standing in their synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men's sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Here ends the word of God. Our Father, who art in heaven.
Yes?
Don't interrupt me, I'm praying.
Excuse me, Chris, but you called me.
Called you? No, I didn't call you. I'm praying.
There
Our Father, who art in heaven.
There you go again.
But go again, did what?
You called me. You said, Our Father, who art in heaven. Well, here I am, so what's on your mind?
But I didn't mean anything by it. It was, you know, I'm just doing my Sunday thing, my Sunday prayer. I always say the Lord's Prayer. It makes me feel good. It's like I'm fulfilling a duty.
Well, all right then, just go on.
Okay. Hallowed be thy name.
Hold it right there. Now, what do you mean by that?
By what?
By hallowed be thy name.
Well, it means good grief. It's just part of the prayer. By the way, since I'm talking to you, I guess, what does it mean?
Well, hallowed means to be honored, holy, or wonderful.
That makes some real sense. I never thought about hallowed meaning before. Thanks. Okay. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, do you really mean that?
Sure, why not? What are you doing about it?
Doing? I'm not God doing. Why nothing, I guess. I just think it would be kind of neat if you got control of everything down here. We're sometimes a little messed up, you know, down here.
Yes, I know. But have I control of you?
Wait, what? Control of me? Well, I go to church.
That's not what I asked you. What about your, your issues?
Now, wait a second. Hold on a minute about my issues. Stop picking on me. I'm just as good as some of those other people that go to church. Churches around the world. I'm like a lot of people.
Excuse me? I thought you were praying for my will to be done. If that happens, it will have to start with the ones who are praying for me, like you're doing right now, for example.
Oh, all right. I guess. I do have some hang-ups. Now that I mention it, I could probably name some of them.
Oh, and so could I.
I haven't thought about it much until now, but I really would like to cut out some things. You know, I got some negative things in my life. I would like to, you know, really be free of them.
Good. Now we're getting somewhere. We'll work on that together, just you and me. Chris, I am so proud of you.
Oh, thank you. Well, look, Lord, if you don't mind, I need to finish up here. This is taking a lot longer than it usually does. So here goes. Give us this day our daily bread.
Chris, you need to cut out some of that bread. You know, you are a little bit overweight.
Hey, wait a minute here. What is this? Here I'm doing my religious duty, and all of a sudden you break in and remind me of my hang-ups.
Praying is such a dangerous thing. You just might get what you're asking for. Now, remember, you called me, and here I am. It's not too late to stop now, so let's keep praying. Go on.
I'm a little scared, too.
Scared? Scared of what?
I don't know what you're going to say.
Just go ahead and try me.
All right. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
Okay, now, what about your friend Harry?
See, I knew it. You bring up Harry. I knew you'd bring him up. Why, Lord, he's told lies about me. He's spread stories. Oh, and he's never paid me back the money he owes me.
But your prayer, what about your prayer?
Well, you know, sometimes I just say it. It's not like I really mean it.
Well, at least you're honest. But it's quite a load to carry around with all that bitterness, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. But I'll feel better as soon as I get even with him. Boy, have I got some plans for Harry.
No, you won't feel any better. You'll actually feel worse. Revenge isn't sweet. You know how unhappy you are? Well, I could change that.
Wait, you can? How can you change that?
Forgive Harry, and then I'll forgive you. And the hate and the sin? Well, that'll be Harry's problem, not yours. You will have to settle the problem as far as you are concerned.
Oh, you know, I think you're right. I guess you're always right. And more than I want payback, I want to be right with you. All right. I forgive Harry.
There, now, that's pretty wonderful. How do you feel?
Well, not bad at all. In fact, I feel great, you know. I don't think I'll go to bed tonight uptight. I haven't been getting much rest, you know.
Yeah, I know. But you're not through with your prayer yet, so will you just go on?
All right. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Good. I'll do that. Just don't put yourself in a place where you can be tempted.
Wait, what do you mean by that?
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Go ahead now. Finish your prayer.
This is like a good part. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Do you know what would bring me glory? What would really make me happy?
No, but I'd like to know. I want to please you. I am a follower of Jesus. I've sort of made a mess of things down here, but I want to truly follow you. I can see now how great it would be to simply follow you. So tell me, how do I make you happy?
You just did. Thank you, Chris.
Well, amen. I was sent that by a friend of mine. It's called God Interrupting. I don't know if you've ever had opportunities in prayer where God interrupts you and you're like, well, wait a second. I'm the one praying here. But we have to realize that God is in charge. Always has been. Always will be. Yes, we're given free will. Martin Luther talked about that a lot. But in that free will, sometimes we stray and don't give God the focus, don't give God the glory. I don't know if you could hear any of yourself in that prayer, if maybe when you laughed or thought about something I said or God said, maybe you were convicted by something that was said. because it resonated with you. It's like, oh, he's talking about me. And that sometimes happens when the Holy Spirit is at work. I'm confident some of you have been praying the Lord's Prayer longer than I've been alive. But I would ask you, the next time you pray the Lord's Prayer, maybe it'll be on the screen later, I know it's in your heart, but pray it as if it's the first time. Don't do it from rote. I grew up in the Roman Catholic tradition, first through 12th grade Catholic school. We went to church Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Saturday, we had to go to confession before we went out at night. And then Sunday, worship. I learned to pray fast. It's not honoring God, and I know that obviously now. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. That's not a prayer. That's just rambling of words. So when we pray, take time in prayer. You don't have to follow along with everybody else just because we're praying together in public. But just take time for you and God to be together. Some of you may or may not be aware that the Lord's Prayer was founded on Old Testament scripture. So oftentimes we think of the Lord's Prayer in the New Testament, of course, because Jesus instructed us to pray in a particular fashion. And we realize that Jesus was approached by people, and they wanted to know how to pray, as many of us still do. But Jesus' disciples came to him and asked, Lord, teach us to pray. And he responded with what we call today the Lord's Prayer. I don't know if you ever considered that Jesus was sent to the Jewish people. Here, Matthew 15:24, he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Those are God's chosen people Jesus was sent to. And he was ministering to them. He was speaking to the disciples who were Jewish, as he was. So when Jesus answered the question about prayer, he was doing it from that context, that Jewish context, that chosen people context, that Hebrew context. At that time, they had what we'll call the Old Testament. But they had the book of Torah, the first five books of the Bible, actually. So the disciples would have known that. Jesus, of course, would have known that. Any proper Jew would have known of the Torah and all the writings in that. I want to show you in the Lord's Prayer how it's founded from the Old Testament. Last week, I referenced a bunch of Bible verses as we talked about the Apostles' Creed. A copy of those is out in the lobby, as what I'm going to share with you now about the Lord's Prayer and its scriptural references as it regards the Old Testament. So the Lord's Prayer, based on the Old Testament. I'm not going to read them all because, well, I assume some of you want to be out of here before 12. But so I'm just going to make references. As I said, copies are outside. Our Father, it's based on Isaiah 63 and Isaiah 64. Who art in heaven? 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Psalm 15, Isaiah 57, and chapter 66. Hallowed be thy name, Leviticus 10, chapter 22 as well. 2 Samuel chapter 7, 1 Kings chapter 8, 1 Chronicles chapter 17, Nehemiah chapter 9, Psalm 72. Thy kingdom come. Daniel chapter 2, chapter 7, verses 14, 27. You see that there. Psalm 2, Isaiah 2, Jeremiah 23, Zechariah chapter 9. Thy will be done. Psalm 40, Ezra chapter 7, Daniel chapter 4. On earth as it is in heaven. Daniel 4, Nehemiah 9, Psalm 103. Give us this day our daily bread. Proverbs 30, Exodus 16, Job 23, Psalm 34, Isaiah 33. And forgive us our trespasses, based on Exodus 34, 1 Kings 8, Psalm 32, Daniel 9, Jeremiah 31 and 36. as we forgive our debtors. Nehemiah 5, Genesis 50, 1 Samuel 25, Deuteronomy 15. And lead us not into temptation. Isaiah 3, and also chapter 9. Proverbs 16, Psalm 125, Proverbs 30. But deliver us from evil. 1 Chronicles 4, Psalm 121, Jeremiah chapter 15, Psalm 56. For thine is the kingdom. 1 Chronicles 29, Psalm 145, Daniel 4. And the power, 1 Chronicles 29 again. And the glory, 1 Chronicles 29 again in Daniel 7. Forever and ever, Daniel 7. These aren't all the scriptural references that help build the Lord's Prayer, but they're some of the most pointed ones that do that. Most of us, as I did for many years, thought that the Lord's Prayer was just something Jesus was standing there and went, hey, here's what you can do. But when we come into studying scripture and understanding the Old and the New Testament, we see the depth of what Jesus was saying. We see the understanding of him as a rabbi, a teacher, in that time that he walked on this earth. And he was teaching the disciples, but he was also reminding them of what they already knew that's found in what we call the Old Testament. So he was reaffirming God's word by sharing a new prayer with them, but all based on God's word. The disciples had to be marveling at that. And we look at it as a simple prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven. Some of us have said it thousands, if not tens of thousands of times. Martin Luther, 500 years ago, talked on it often because he knew how foundational it was in our Christian walk. Let me continue with a more familiar text. Were you aware that the Lord's Prayer is found in two places in the New Testament? I just read one from you, or to you, from the Gospel of Matthew, but it's also found in another one as well. It's found in Luke, and that is something for you to look up. I'm not going to read it to you. You got to look it up. In this writing from Luke, though, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And it wasn't as if they were saying, should we kneel when we pray? Should we stand and fold our hands, do something? Like, Jesus wasn't telling them how to physically pray. He was calling them into a connection with the Creator, our Father. He was calling them into a connection with his Father, Jesus' Father, and the Father of all mankind. So Jesus was teaching them in this time, in particular in Luke, and there's this foundational aspect of the Lord's Prayer. It covers the Trinity. What a blessing for us. What a blessing many of you have probably had who have children, that you've taught them the Lord's Prayer. And I pray they pray it still to this day as opposed to recite it. You understand the difference? When we pray, we pray, we connect with God. When we recite something, we're just saying it, reciting it. Martin Luther taught that prayer is central to daily life. This understanding of the Lord's Prayer is foundational, he wrote, for prayer that spills, he wrote, into Christian life every day. So consider the layout of Luther's small catechism. If the Ten Commandments, which we reviewed a couple of weeks ago, teach us the law and God's desires there, the creed that we looked at last week teaches us about grace, about how the gospel intercedes for us through the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and how the law and the gospel can come together, the Lord's Prayer teaches us something special as well. It teaches us to meditate. That's what Martin Luther referred to the Lord's Prayer as, a meditation prayer. He wrote about it in the Large and Small Catechism. For those that are deep in their Lutheranism, some of you have the Large Catechism. It's bigger than this. Not many people carry it around in their pocket. But then in modern times, we have the Small Catechism. that you can carry around in your pocket. If you need one, I have some more available. Many of you have taken them home. Thank you very much. But within the text, large or small, the introduction, Our Father, who art in heaven. In the large catechism, Martin Luther wrote, God does not consider prayer because of the person, but because of his word and obedience to it. So Luther is writing, and I agree obviously with him, that it's less about us and more about God when we take time in prayer. A few paragraphs later in the same writing, Luther continued, we should be more encouraged and moved to pray because God has also added a promise that he fulfills. We can make promises to one another. Unfortunately, some of us don't fulfill our promises, but God always does and always will. So how does this concept of prayer that's not based on our worth, but based upon God's worth and his word, call us into a closer relationship? Luther said, this should both humble the proud and bolster the doubting. So maybe if you're too proud and you need to be humbled, spend more time in prayer. Maybe if you're doubting things in life, maybe God, spend more time in prayer. Either way, we're called to be connected to Christ, to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit even more. Again, within the Lord's Prayer, the first petition, as Luther outlined, hallowed be thy name. Luther wrote, and I want to read this to you because it's deep. When both our doctrine and the church and our daily life are godly and Christian in word and deed. That latter part, Christian in word and deed. That's what we should all be striving to. When we walk each day with Jesus, may our words and our actions, our deeds, honor him. And in doing so, we honor his church and we honor one another as believers as well. But I got to ask the question, how are you doing with that? On honoring God in your words and your deeds. Big question. Some of us will have a slip of the tongue every so often. Some of us will take an action, do a deed that isn't of God. How are we doing with that? On this Father's Day, do we keep holy our true Father, God? We understand the fourth commandment, honor my father and my mother. It's great stuff, obviously. But how are we doing with honoring the Father, God? In the small catechism, the second petition is recorded as, Thy kingdom come. Many of us tend to think that praying Thy kingdom come is primarily talking about the future, talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Almost a request for us, Thy kingdom come. Maybe you've had a bad day and you just want Jesus to return so you can just shoot to heaven. Thy kingdom come. But in Luther's explanation, he teaches it in present tense, not in future tense, in present tense, because Luther wants us to know that God showers us in grace. He covers us in grace. His kingdom is upon the followers, those who call upon him, who hold his word dear, who walk with him daily, who receive the blessing of Holy Communion, one of the sacraments of the church, which we'll celebrate here once a month, the first Sunday of each month. The third petition, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if the first petition teaches us about church doctrine, teachings of the church, the second leans into grace, and now we come into the sacraments of the church. I'm not going to ask this. This is more rhetorical. You don't have to jump up and say you know. What are the sacraments of the church? In the Lutheran Christian understanding, because it's biblical, the sacraments of the church are baptism and Holy Communion, because they've both been ordained by God. They've both been completed by Jesus Christ himself, and they both come from God's creation. Water, obviously. And then the bread and the wine that we partake in Holy Communion. All of it centers towards God, and it's all about the blessing we receive through it as well. What a wonderful blessing. Luther described the third petition in the Large Catechism as this: everything that seeks to oppose and prevent the fulfillment of the first two petitions. How do we understand this? How do we understand some of the teachings of Luther? Because I get confused often, and I supposedly went to school for all this. But some of Luther's writings I stumble over, and maybe you have as well. But Luther calls us to live a baptismal life, acknowledging that we've been marked with the cross of Christ forever in our baptism. And some people think, just because of that, life should be easy. Oh, I wish it were so. I wish it were so. But for those of us who know Jesus Christ, who call upon him as Lord and Savior, we have a battle to face every day. I've shared this with Sarah and other people that if we don't know Jesus, Satan's like, don't have to bother with that guy, got him already. Or girl, I don't want to be sexist here. So devil's not, but the devil focuses on those who walk with Jesus every day. And some of you have felt that heat, that pain of the devil. Having the devil as our enemy, Martin Luther wrote. Let's continue the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, I'm wondering if you understand that that daily bread is the cheese and crackers you're going to have after worship or something else. God blesses us in so many ways. I'm not going to read it for you. It's a little homework for you. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 27. I'd like you to consider this passage as you see it up on the screen as I continue. Do we receive the daily bread with proper thanksgiving? Thanksgiving that provides us from God every day. I pray that each of us believes that God is indeed our great provider, not just today, but every day for a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to move on to the fifth petition, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That would be awesome if we forgave everybody that trespassed against us. I struggle with that. Some of us might get confused by the second phrase there, as we forgive. And I think that God's forgiveness is the real response here. Understanding that God, the Father, the creator of the universe, who gave us his one and only begotten Son, who was born of a virgin, who became incarnate like man, who walked this earth, who was challenged with same similar emotions that we do, maybe some farther than we can imagine, who died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and then 3 days later rose again and ascended into heaven. As we forgive those who trespass against us. Sometimes when I think about what Christ did for us, I really can focus on forgiving others because he has first and foremost forgiven me. It's easy to forgive someone that does you wrong. Whoa, wait. I actually wrote that down. It's easy to forgive someone who's done you wrong. Is it? Is it? You may be thinking right now that Harry did you wrong and you're holding on to it. I would encourage you to let it go. Sometimes it's easy to look the other way, even though people want to criticize you. No, that's not the word I want to use. Excuse me. They want to throw you underneath the bus, and you know you don't deserve it. But we're still called to forgive that person. That's tough. It's hard to do. Forgiveness should be more about our response to God than to other people. Martin Luther was such a better man than I that he could write about forgiving those who sinned against him. After all, the Pope at that time wanted him dead. Others wanted to persecute him. And yet he could still forgive them. Much better man than I. It's hard sometimes to forgive someone that may be hurting you or hurting the church, hurting the fellowship. God calls us into that forgiveness, to work through that with him. So the sixth petition, and lead us not into temptation. That's a good one. Martin Luther talked about the trio about this. He talked about the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. And lead us not into temptation. Satan's out there. He's real. The world, obviously, is real. Our sinful nature is real. But we're called not to be tempted. The Small Catechism, Luther admits that one should be expected to be tempted by all of this, the devil, the world, and sinful nature. He wrote, although we are attacked by these things. So he, 500 years ago, was going, yep, this is all real. It's out there. Just because we're walking with Jesus doesn't mean we get away from all of that challenge. But Luther talked about how those daily trials can cause us to connect more deeply with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want to read scripture to you from Ephesians chapter 6. Maybe familiar to many of you. Ephesians chapter 6. Some of you have heard this before. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all these, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray. I love that. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. When times are tough, when we feel the devil, the world, and even our own sinful nature is attacking us, we're called into prayer. Luther, in his warning in the Large Catechism about this, wrote, if you try to help yourself by your own thoughts and counsel, you will only make the matter worse and give the devil more space, for he has a serpent's head. If it finds an opening into which it can slip, the whole body will follow. Interesting imagery. It's not just getting a peek into something. Everything can fall. The seventh petition, but deliver us from evil. And we summarize with this petition that our Father in heaven will rescue us from evil. I pray you believe that. That the rescue is God's plan. Actually, the rescue has already happened through his Son, Jesus Christ. God saw that this world was so challenged, so messed up, that he came to the conclusion that I've got to send my only Son to help them, to redeem them. But it had to be done through a sacrifice. That rescue plan was spectacular. And 2,000 years ago, it came through when Jesus rose from the grave like none other had ever done. So we have been rescued, those who call upon Jesus as Lord and Savior. Okay, let me wrap this up. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is a doxology style ending. You've probably sang the doxology in the church, but doxology simply means a short expression of praise or adoration. And it comes out of the Greek, doxa meaning glory or splendor, and ology, which is in reference to the word, logos, actually, the word, and Jesus is the living word. In the word, there is a conclusion in the Lord's Prayer that's rich, that's very rich. It's a four-letter word, simply, amen. Amen, meaning, yes, God, we affirm what you've asked us. We affirm what you've taught us. We affirm what you've written by simply saying, amen. Luther's commentary on this little word, amen. God grant you much joy in ever learning how to meditate upon and pray the divine words of the prayer by which our entire Christian life is guided daily. Luther really got into people who prayed, who talked to God. And again, it's not about the physical. You have to kneel at the communion rail or even kneel by your bedside. Sometimes it's prayer in your lazy boy. Prayer out on the boat. Prayer out in nature. Connecting with God. Luther wrote again, as I wrap this. Luther wrote, that I should be certain that these petitions are acceptable to our Father in heaven and heard. Luther referenced petition because of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, but also our prayers, our petitions, are acceptable to our Father in heaven and heard. For he himself has commanded us to pray and has promised that he will hear us. And here's how Luther ended this writing. Amen, 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 that is, yea, yea, it shall be so. We affirm our prayers. And on this Father's Day, when we celebrate dads, many of us, when we think about our Father here on earth and reference that, we shouldn't neglect the celebration we have with our Father in heaven that we're called to honor, that we're called to give thanksgiving to. So as you celebrate Father's Day, as many of you will, give thanks to the earthly Father, but also give thanks to the heavenly Father who holds the highest thanksgiving possible. I'm going to offer a prayer at this time. I'd like to invite the praise team to come up and prepare as they lead us in song in a moment. If you would bow your head in prayer, I'd appreciate that. God, we give thanks to you. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, we come before you acknowledging that you are holy and your name is to be held above all else. Thank you. Thank you for modeling prayer for us through your Son, Jesus, who gave us the Lord's Prayer because of your guidance. And Father, we pray that your kingdom would advance and your will be done in our daily living. Here at Harbor of Joy, and in the larger community. And all of God's people said, amen. 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 Thank you.
Our next song is called Faith of Our Fathers. It was written by Frederick Faber in 1849. He wrote it to honor the early Christian martyrs. But today we honor our fathers.
Glory.
Please join with me as we declare our Christian faith as found in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please allow me to offer a prayer of thanksgiving. God, we thank you for those who give sacrificially to your kingdom through Harbor of Joy, who place their tithe and their offerings in the box in the back that gives grace and peace into this community through the mission of this church. We ask you to bless these tithes and offerings given today and throughout the week, here in person or electronically, Lord. We just simply give you thanks for that. And now, blessed by our Heavenly Father, we take time to pray for the people of God and our circumstances. So, God, we know you bless fathers. We all had different experiences, yet we wouldn't be here without our dad. A blessing to have. Lord, we give thanks for all the fathers here this morning, for all the men you created in your image. May each of us step in to what you call us to do and step up when needed, so that we can serve you and serve those around us. And Jesus, we ask you to guide Harbor of Joy through any and all challenges that come our way. May we focus on you and what is best for your church, for Harbor of Joy. And Holy Spirit, be with those serving in our armed forces here in this country and abroad as they protect our freedoms. We ask you to protect them. And Father God, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Help us to walk into the larger community this morning, not just as hearers of your word, but as active doers. May we reflect your love to all we meet. And I pray this in the powerful name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. I ask you to stand at this time for our sending song. All the people said, Amen.
Amen. First Chronicles 16:36, King David wrote, Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen.
Forgiven and be free. It's all you've got to do. said amen. Whoa, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen.
Thank you, Praise Team, for leading us this morning. A blessing for us. Before I share the benediction, please know that if you desire to stay for fellowship, there's coffee and treats in the back. If you just simply go about your day, may God bless you. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.